Good afternoon. Welcome to the FTS BetSlip Tuesday, the 7th of September. Afternoon on the golf course yesterday. I played golf yesterday afternoon. Two things happen I've never ever seen happen before. I reckon in my life, I've played golf, 38 years now? Yep, 38 years. I was 12 when I started. I've played 750 golf courses, and in that time I've probably played with something in the region of a couple of thousand people. And two things happened yesterday that I've never ever seen before. Played with Suggsy, Kevin Kelly and Mick McManus. Great fun, really enjoyable afternoon. But Mick McManus, I've never played with him before, plays right-handed and putts left-handed. So we tee off the first, off he goes, right-handed, gets on the green, pulls out a left-handed putter. I said, you putt left-handed but play right? He said, yeah, I am naturally left-handed. And I said, but you play right-handed? He said, yeah. He said, well, when I was starting out, he said, a bloke offered me a set of ping clubs. He said, I played. He said, but played left-handed, started playing left-handed. But a bloke offered me a set of ping clubs, and I got a lovely set of ping clubs. And I know Mick's age, probably going back to the time before Callaway Taylor made ping the top of the game. Then ping I2 irons were the sort of fashionable clubs to have. And this bloke said, yeah, got a lovely set that you can have on the cheap, but unfortunately they're right-handed. Shame you're left-handed. And because it was such a good deal, Mick bought the right-handed ones and decided to play right-handed instead. So he plays right-handed and plays left-handed. And then Kevin Kelly, I've played with Paul and Kevin now probably something like 10, 11 times. And the first time I played with a guy called Simon, and as my partner, and Paul holed about a 4 or 5 footer on the last green to win one up. And ever since then, they haven't won. But Kevin yesterday, Kevin won a game where he actually sat on a bench for 3 hours. Because he's done his knee, and I think some of you know Kevin. He did a charity run before the charity run in his training. He done his knee in. He still went ahead with the charity run, and his knee's not got any better. Thought he'd be okay yesterday. 3 or 4 holes strap come out. He's in bad shape, to be fair. So we got to the 12th green, and he said, "I'm going to have to sit down, lads, my thing." So he sat down, we played 13, 14, but it sort of goes round in a loop. We got back, he'd moved and sat, laid down at the back of the 15th green. And he shook hands to win a game, having not played 3 holes, which I've never seen before. Kev was my partner. Poor old Suggs, he can't even beat a one-legged golfer these days. He just can't win, he just can't beat me. Kevin and I gave them a right old slap in 4 and 3, and yeah, poor old Kev, hope your knee gets better, son. I know you're in a bad night with it. Get to the docks. I think that's ligaments that you've done there. Keep icing it. And Suggsy, find a new game, son. Find something else. I mean, I turn up. I hadn't played since we went to Colchester. I turn up once every 3 months and give you a pasting. Pack it in. But then went for a lovely curry. Thoroughly enjoyable day. So thank you, lads. Nice in the international break to get out on a beautiful afternoon. The weather was shining. But yeah, two things. I've never seen a bloke have a rest and still win a match. Just missed 3 shot holes as well. Just had a little chill out. Don't need me in. I'm just going to kick my heels back and rest my leg. And a guy who doesn't even know what way round to play the game. Shall I play right-handed? Shall I play left-handed? Right, some good feedback from yesterday's pod. Really good feedback, actually, from a couple of people. And I will endeavour, I hope to do it this week, but obviously we have got football starting again, to do a couple of written blogs and post them just with a sort of summary as I do these ones that get a bit more technical. It is difficult to talk about this stuff and just talk about it without showing examples, but I will, as I say, endeavour to do a written blog alongside it that sort of summarises it and explains it a little bit better in the written word. I think people then can refer back to it and understand exactly what I mean, and I can do some little examples a bit better. I get asked, I talked about analysing it as a question, asking a question. So I get asked this sort of thing all the time. How, I think one of the biggest things in trading and football betting is, how do you pick the game? So I actually had a conversation with somebody, I can't remember who it was this week, and they said one of the things that they understand it all, but the bit they struggle with is actually finding, picking the games. How do you get it down to, that's the games I want to trade? And I get asked that all the time. How do you find games suitable for lay the draw? How do you find games suitable for first half goals? How do you find games suitable for second half goals? How do you find games suitable for late goals? And I think the late goal thing is something that football traders, for whatever reason, because for me a win's a win, but for whatever reason they love it. I mean, I don't specifically really play late goals, so I don't sit there and go, oh, I'm going to devise that. I play second half goals, and obviously if you get a late goal, it's sort of often sweeter, because quite often, you know, I get to 85-86 minutes and I'm like, well, that one's probably done, and then you get the late goal and, you know, you turn £1,000 loss into a 1500 quid win, whatever it may be. So the swing is lovely, and you appreciate it coming at the time. That's just a mindset thing where I've sort of, you know, once it gets to, if I'm on the first half goal, once it gets to 40-41 minutes, I tend to think, well, that's done, and second half similarly. And I think then by living like that, it's quite nice when you do get it, rather than sitting there anxiously waiting for that goal. But late goals are something that people specifically, you know, go after, you know, see it all the time, pick to it. And somebody asked me yesterday, if I was looking for regression analysis, what I talked about yesterday, for late goals, where would I start? And I think for me, I would want value in, obviously, I want to build a second half model, I want value in that model, and then I take that model forward, and I'd get a load of qualifying games, and then I would start to angle in and say, right, if I only want to bet these now from, let's say, 80 minutes onwards for a late goal, you're going to be somewhere around about even money there, depending on what league and the circumstance of the game. So I'm going to ignore every game that has a goal before 80 minutes, and now I'm going to end up with a sample of games that I've either not got a goal or I've got the goal 80 minutes onwards. But that's all based on a second half model. So sort of what elements would you look at things like in that? I mean, obviously I use Poisson, and I'm going to, you know, again, there's a danger of people trying to run before they walk, get there. But what I did this morning, I just had a quick scat through for late goals, 80 minutes plus. I got a database, a second half database of what is now 32,282 games, and I basically broke it down into score lines. So I did 0-0, 0-1, 1-0, 1-1, 2-0, 2-1, 1-2, 2-2, 3-0, 0-3. So in effect, I'm looking for the late goal, that's the variable. The analysis I've looked at is scoreline at half time. Does that have any inkling on there being a late goal at the end of the match, 80 minutes onward? So that's the two things that I took at. And surprisingly enough, you know, or not surprisingly, nothing ever would stand out like that make you go, oh yeah, if you get to, got a game that's 0-1 at half time, back a late goal, because obviously there's going to be more to it like that. But 0-0 was a 38.22% of all games that are 0-0, irrespective of whether they've had other second half goals, have a goal 80 minutes onwards. That was the worst performing scoreline, and the best performing scoreline was 2-2, which a game at 2-2 at half time, 44.4% of those have a goal 80 minutes onwards. It could be 4-3 by 80 minutes. They have a goal after 80 minutes or 80 minutes plus. And all those really worked out. Nothing great. I mean, the 2-2, it works out odds of 2.25. And the 0-0, which is the worst, it worked out 2.62, mean odds of 2.41. So in essence, that's, I'm not saying this is a system at all, I'm just saying all I've done there is take half-time scorelines. Do they have any bearing on whether there's a late goal or not? They pretty much all fall in the same bracket. Once you take 0-0 out of them, 0-0, 1-0, 1-1, 2-0, 2-1, 1-2, they all hinge around sort of 42 to 44%. So nothing in there that leaps out at me. What would I then look at, you know, perhaps to move that on? I'd say, right, I want to add in another variable. The variable I like is odds on. And I mean odds on over 2.5. So where the market is expecting goals. So instantly now I'm removing all games that aren't under 2.5. I'm bringing in games that are odds against. I'm bringing in only games where over 2.5, 5 minutes pre-kickoff is odds on. And it does improve the numbers. It takes the nil-nil up from 38.22 to nearly 42%. Nil-one from 42% up to 47%. 2-2, which was 44%, the best, up to 47.24%. So you sort of got 2-2 generally. 2-2 at half-time, goal after 80 minutes, odds of 2.25, 44% all games. Odds of 2.12 when it's 80 minutes. Now, don't rush in and think, oh, if I can back anything, odds of over 2.12, I'm going to win. We've covered this before, that your winners might come in the odds bracket below that. You know, that's its percentages. It doesn't mean that you're going to get all the winners over 2.12. Really important factor. So, but what I'm talking about, how I sort of would start, you can start to put something together. So I was looking at, and quite often you'll do this and you'll find there's nothing in it. So I was looking at, right, I want to look at a goal 80 minutes plus. Do score lines affect it? Let's have a look. Is there anything in that? Do score lines, but where over 2.5 is odds on, affect it? Start to add that in. So I start to piece bits of a jigsaw together to see if there's anything in it. Rather than having a massive sheet in front of me, clicking about, going, look what I found. I'm actually trying to piece something together. So that's really the sort of stuff I was talking about. As I say, I'll do a blog post on it. So I couldn't find anything in there that I thought, oh, that's brilliant. And then obviously people often say that, you know, we know from the, I've just updated, by the way, on the website, the goal percentages sheet. So I've done all the summer months right up to 3rd of September, and the goals and goal times. The links are on Twitter in the Telegram group, on the FTS blog. You might have to click back through the blog, you know, past the podcast ones. I posted those round about November, December last year. And they're free. You can grab those and do it. And obviously we know that if a goal goes in the early, I think they're broken into 9 minute barriers, 1 to 9 minutes, obviously that changes the shape of the game, because one team's behind now, so they've got a chase, so they're going to come out. Perhaps other team feels they can score more, so you get those percentages. So I looked at is there a period where goals go in that affects whether it's late goals. And again, nothing really stood out. It tends to be the best numbers are the middle of the game, sort of 21 minutes through to 35 minutes. Again, very similar numbers to just score lines, 42-43%. The first 20 minutes is about 41%, and the second 20 minutes is about 42.5%. And if you throw in, sort of, if you went from 20, I did it in 5 minute intervals. So if you took the last part of the half from 21 minutes onwards, it's about 42.5% again. So you're getting sort of average odds of 2.35. Again, if you took, right, I'm only going to look at games that have had a first half goal 25 minutes onwards, but again, where over 2.5 was odds on, and you might then throw in a third variable where the home team's odds on or a home team's green form, does it have a massive difference? Not really. It does produce the best figures. So if you have a goal 30 minutes onwards and over 2.5 is odds on, that is the best numbers for a goal late in the game. And don't go betting this, because there's nothing in this. I'm just literally using a hypothetical example that comes out. Average odds over that sort of 15 minutes from 31 to half time, about 2.14 odds of a late goal. So a goal 80 minutes onwards, irrespective of what happens from 46 to 80, an average of 46, nearly 47% of those games where they have a latish first half goal do have a goal 80 minutes onwards. But with the prices you'll be betting at, there'll be very little in it. You'd start to look at different leagues. If you go in Brazil, you might be getting odds at 80 minutes at 2.5. If you go in Syria, you might only be getting odds of 1.952. So there's a bit more to it, but I'm trying to say, rather than just saying, oh, late goals, and I know there's people who have different methods, and there's people who watch games for late goals, there's people who have other alerts set up for late goals, whatever it may be. I'm just talking about if people want to try and build things themselves, you start in with, I want to find an 80 minute goal or 80 minutes onwards, because makes, you know, the reason I bet late first half is I don't want to be laying at 3 or 4. I want to be laying around about, or back in laying around about even money downwards. If you're laying, you know, what as the price decays, 1.5, 1.3, sort of 35, 40 minutes, that's what I want to do. Second half, very similarly, if you were backing late goals, obviously you'd be backing odds of 2 pretty much upwards. You know, if you go at 85, 2.6, 2.7. If you were laying the other side of the market, you'd be laying at 1.5, 1.4, 1.3 coming down. So that would be the start. I want to find late goals. What's the way to go about it? You might be somebody who wants alerts. You might be somebody who wants X shots on target second half. You might be somebody who wants to, you know, the watching thing is just not for me. I don't know what data you would record watching, what you're actually looking for. Other than all that team's pressing for a late goal doesn't mean they're going to get one, but you know, obviously there's people who are really good at that. But look, one of the big factors is odds on over 2.5, under odds on over 2.5 and less than 2.0 has a factor, obviously, because the market is telling you it's expecting goals. But how you would put it together and then collect that data and see if there's anything in it, then test it forward before we went into betting it. And it's all very well the booms and this, that and the late goals. Ultimately it will come down to everything in gambling: how often do you do it, what price are you getting, and yeah, we got a late goal, but if I do that XYZ times, or I have done it XYZ times. So you know, you could have 50 booms where you've in 100 bets you can go, yeah, I've had 50 late goals and I've done it. Have you actually made money? So you've had 100 bets, you've definitely lost 50 points. Have the 50 late ones made up for that? You know, you've got to be able to show a profit. It's not all about just jumping up and down and going, yeah, we've had late goals. As great as I know they can be for people, ultimately all this comes down to is, again, it's like everything in gambling, comes down to the maths of it. I'm betting at this price, I've had X successes, X losses, have I actually made any money? Because we can jump up and down and go, yes, Spurs have scored late, but that's one single bet. It's not if I'm doing that all the time. So you want something fairly robust. It's not a market I'm massively in. Quite often my methods involve backing a late goal where there hasn't been a goal. But I just thought I'd run you through some numbers sort of hypothetically while I was updating those goal time sheets for the website this morning. As I say, I will try and do a couple of blog posts. I'll be gone now until Friday. We've got football back Friday. Everything will be processed as normal. Podcast, you know, and we're going to look at the format of that. Telegram group, guys, you're going to be set up for the week. Probably do that on Friday and get you set up. And then we're off and running at the races until the next international break. Have a lovely day. Kevin Kelly, go and rest your knee, son. Ice it every couple of hours. Suggsy, get yourself on the... He don't practice. It's all in the head. Doesn't need to practice. It's all in the head. That's what he said. Suggsy, son, you need to get yourself to the driving range. There. I mean, it's... If you can't beat me soon, I'm going to have to find some different people to take on. Right, have a lovely Tuesday. And, oh, Lingfield people, I will email you. I'm waiting to hear back from Lingfield. They've got skeleton staff still because of COVID. So it's like, send them something. I don't get an answer till 3-4 days later. I'm just waiting for a confirmation on numbers I can have and some menus to come through. And then I will email out. And as I say, I can't get everybody in, but I'll email to those who were in first, in effect. So, right, that's it. I'm done. I'll be back with you on Friday.